you remember, like, you used to go to the doctor, so he would press on some areas and go, how's this? Oh, I'm all right. Oh, ow, 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 right here. Ow, yeah, right there, right there. So he knows that there's some infection in my glands here and here and here. And sometimes God does that with you and me. He presses our minds. How's this? Oh, not too bad. What about your mouth? Oh, ow, ow, ow. And then he presses right here on your wallet. Ow! Ow! Stop! Don't push! Ow! God says, oh, it's got roots all over the place.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, a message entitled Financing Your Future, where Pastor Wayne will show us some practical, helpful tips on using your finances wisely. If you can use a little help in this department, or maybe a whole lot of help, this message is for you. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled Financing Your Future.
Well, today we want to talk about financing our future. Now, you say, Wayne, you know you cannot finance the future. You can't buy the future. I know that, and you know that. But the way we steward our finances will directly affect our future, either for the good or benefit or for consequences, for bad. It'll either increase your future or decrease it. Did you know they found out that 64% of divorces are somehow related to financial burdens and pressures? It may be the igniter of something greater, but it is in the recipe of disaster in a marriage, finances, because it affects your future. It affects everything. As was a story of this man and a woman getting a divorce, and the woman comes up to the judge and shakes her finger in his face, and he says, I want you to know that it was me. I made this man a millionaire. And the judge said, whoa, what was he before this? She said, a billionaire. Yeah, it'll affect everything about you. You take a look at the infightings, the wars, the family feuds. A lot of that has to do with what? Money and the way it is used and stewarded. But before I talk about financing your future, I want to talk about two things that have to be in line before God blesses this. These have to be lined up. If not, if they're crooked, nothing happens here. This has to be in place. And let me give you two, and then I'll give you the third about our future. But the first is what has to be understood well is our goals. Goals. Your goals are like your life GPS. If your GPS is set wrong, you're going to be miles off and you won't know how to get back on. Goals in life. What is your main goal? Well, Wayne, I've got affirmations. I got pictures of the house that I want, the ski boat that I want. I've got pictures of that on my refrigerator. I've got a bucket list. Well, that's fine. But by the way, if you've got bucket lists and you think, I'm not going to be able to complete it all in this life, don't worry. Because you see, if you know Jesus Christ, you're going to be in heaven, and every day is going to be a fulfillment of a bucket list for the next 20 million years. So don't worry about trying to get it all done here like you don't have forever. So enjoy it. But anyway, so I've got some affirmations. I've got some goals. Yeah, but here's the question. What should be your greatest goal? Paul the Apostle tells us that. Let's read the scripture in Philippians 3:8. You'll see it with me. Read it. Go. I count all things to be lost in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. He's saying of all the things that I can do and have as my goals, my greatest goal is to make sure I know what Jesus wants for me. I want to make sure that His purpose is my purpose because they have to match up. If not, I'm in trouble. You've got to make sure that your purpose matches. Why do I say that? Because of this. Success begins when our goals and God's goals are the same. Yeah. Just the other day when I was in Oregon, I was there for my grandson's fifth birthday, little Zachy, and it was just great to be there. We've got six, Anna has six grandchildren, and she has six grandchildren. But that was a joke because I'm saying I'm young, she's old, but we both share the same grandkids, by the way. So I was there for his fifth birthday, and while I was there, my pickup, the farm has a pickup that kind of broke down, so it was towed off to this repair place. And then before I came back here, I got a call and said, Wayne, you can come and get the pickup. And so I said to my wife, Anna, honey, take me down to this place, and the address is such and such, which I was not familiar with. And she said, okay, I'll take you down there. And so I'm driving, she's on the side in the passenger seat. So she said, do you know where you're going? I said, well, he told me the address and I kind of know, but I didn't. And so I said to her, would you just plug it into the GPS for me and let's take a look. Well, when she plugged it in and hit enter, it showed that I was 5 miles past the address going in the wrong direction. And I looked at that and I said, whoa, it's way off. So guess what I did? Do you think I turned the car around or did I turn the GPS around? Yeah, I may look Portuguese, but no, I turned the car around. Because a lot of times we would like to turn God around. Because see, this is the way I'm going, God, just sort of bless what I'm doing. And God is saying, no, if you're off, you can pray to your blue in the face that I bless you. I'm not going to bless you. You're going the wrong way. I'm not going to do it. You've got to, success begins when you are going the way I want you to go. Now I'm going to give you everything you need to fulfill that call. You understand that? God will be delighted to bless you, delighted to encourage you and to give you everything you need. But if I reject that and go the other way and say, God bless me. Here, listen, don't ask God to bless what you're doing. Ask him to help you to do what he's blessing. Because it's not about us. Goals, your goals in life. If you don't have the correct goal in life, here it is, listen, you're going to end up where you don't want to be, with people you don't want to be around, and stuff that you've bought impulsively that you don't want anymore. You're going to finance yourself into the poorhouse, and after a while you think, why did I buy this? How many of you have bought something on an impulse and later regretted it, thinking, what am I going to do with this stuff? Raise your hand. Yeah, come on, the rest of you. Yeah, raise your hand. Do you know that some of the most expensive real estate right now in Hawaii is where there are now public storage units? People are building on multi-million dollar pieces of property storage units because we have so much junk that we bought that we don't want anymore. So we store them there. This is really crazy. It's like we're dysfunctional. There are 3 television series about storage units right now. 3 of them. I'm not kidding you. 3. Here's one of them. It's called Auction Hunters. It's in its 4th season. Think about it. There are 26 episodes per season, and it's in its 4th season. Like, are we going nuts or what? It's about storage units. That's the kind of culture in which we live. We live in such a consumeristic, materialistic society. If you don't believe it, just watch your mailbox the next 3 weeks and you'll see how many catalogs and buy this and buy that flyers come. You'll have half of your stuff just junk mail, we call it, trying to get us to buy stuff that we don't want. And if you don't have goals in life, I tell you, you will start buying stuff that you don't want and you'll end up where you don't want to be with people you don't even like. 3 television series on that. So you say, well, Wayne, how do I make better decisions? Because I really want to make better decisions. Over the years, I found that making wise decisions comes in 4 steps. And I want you to write these down, and you'll see them in your notes, but it'll start, you'll notice on the bottom, 1, and then it escalates in a hierarchy, 2, 3, and then 4, okay? So you're going to start with your answer at the bottom. The first is, you've got to ask yourself, by the way, 4 questions. 4 questions. 4 questions you've got to always ask yourself before you make a decision about a relationship you're going to enter, maybe an investment you're going to make. 4 questions. What are they? Number 1, real simple, is it right or wrong? Yeah. If it's wrong, like, oh, I really like this lady. I know she's married and I'm married to somebody else, but man, I really like her. Is it right or wrong? Wrong. Done. Decision's over. There was a guy that wrote to Dear Abby some time ago. It was hilarious. The guy wrote and said, "Dear Abby, I've got a problem here. I'm married, but I'm in love with another woman. But that's not my problem. I left my wife to live with her, but now I'm in love with a third. What should I do?" And then he said, "P.S. Don't write to me anything about that morality stuff." She writes back, "Dear Confused, if I don't write to you anything about morality, I have nothing to say because the only thing that separates us from animals is morality. Therefore, please write to a veterinarian." But yeah, that's about right. So the first is it right or wrong? If you say, okay, it's right, all right? That goes down. Now, you're not done, because the second question is it wise or unwise? Because you can have something that's right, a decision that's right, it's not wrong, but is it wise? Because see, you can misuse the truth. You could be in an elevator and a guy in front of you has terrible BO. It's the truth. Is it wise to tell him? Unwise, especially when he's a lot bigger than you are. Just because you got the truth doesn't mean you have to use it, because it might be an unwise use of that truth. Is it wise at all? By the way, I had a friend that was having trouble with his marriage, and this is a true story, and he was at work, and his coworker said, "I need to talk to you about my marriage." So he said, "Oh, I don't know if I've got much to say. I'm struggling too." "So please." So he said, "Okay." She said, "Can we do it privately at lunch?" So he said, "Okay." So he takes her to lunch, and then they talk, and then she said, "I've got more to say." So they go to a park. They park in this park, and she's talking to him more, and she's crying. And I guess he said something that really helped her, because she said, "Oh, thank you," and leaned over and kissed him. At that precise moment, this guy's wife drove by and saw it. True story. So he's sitting in my counseling office saying, "What am I gonna do? I wasn't doing anything wrong." I said, "Yeah, but you are stupid." Was he wrong? Probably not. Technically, he was right, but was it wise? Very unwise. So you can take the truth and use it unwisely, and it actually can do damage. For example, here's a side note. Did you know that gossip is telling a truth with an intent to hurt? Gossip is telling a truth about someone with an intent to hurt. See, it's right information, but wrong application. Right information, but wrong application. Was it wise? No, it wasn't wise to use it, to tell that. So the first is it right or wrong? It's right. Okay, good. The second is it wise or unwise? If you deem it wise, then it still takes you to the next question. Well, the next question is it strategic or non-strategic? Is this in the genre of what God has called the purpose of your life as a mom, as a dad, in this season of your life? Is it strategic to what God is doing now? If not, be careful. Let me tell you a story. 15 years ago, I've got a brilliant friend that is a fantastic investor and has helped me over the years, mentoring me and kind of my finances. And he said, "Wayne, I just bought a small mall in Arizona and has some leases on it. And there's one right next to it that I want you to buy. In fact, there are several tenants there that have 20 to 30 year leases, like Jack in the Box and a few others that are cash cows giving you lease to this land. So you put a down payment on this. The leases that come off will not only pay your lease, your mortgage, but it'll be twice that. You just can pocket. You make 100% profit on this mall." And so I did some due diligence, and sure enough, it wasn't wrong. It was right. It was even financially wise. So I was ready to sign the contract. But the night before I signed the contract, and this was when I just started pastoring here, I thought this would be a great way of extra income, and I don't have to worry if the ministry doesn't support completely. I'll bring it in another way and just kind of volunteer for the church. And so I thought this would be just wonderful, be great. Well, the night before I signed the contract, I got deathly ill. I mean deathly ill. I started throwing up. I couldn't breathe. I got on my knees and I said, "Dear God, I'm gonna die." You see, what I did a few years before, I said this to God, and I said it seriously. I said, "If I ever do anything that will destroy my future or destroy the church, I want you to either nail me or kill me before I do it. If I'm about to do something immoral or do an adulterous thing or anything, nail me good or kill me, because I love the church too much." Well, God just nails me and I am deathly sick. And I said, "God, what is going on?" And this is what he said. "It's a right decision, financially wise, but it is not strategic because it'll distract you from what I've called you to do in the ministry. You will not be able to build the church and do what I asked you to do in the things that I'm asking you and some of the resources I want you to write for pastors at large. You will not be able to concentrate on that because you'll always be checking on this over here and making this grow. It is not strategic to the purpose that I've called you to." And so right then I said that I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And it was almost within the hour, I felt fine, just that fast. The next morning, I called a guy up and I said, "Not going to do it." He said, "You're so stupid." I said, "I may be, but it's not strategic." And now, 15, 16 years later, I look back and I would do it again in a heartbeat to say no, because it's not strategic. So those are decision questions we must ask ourselves. So let's say it is strategic. Then the next is, and this is the fourth question, is it timely or untimely? Do you need to do this right now? Should you wait for 2 months? Maybe you don't have the budget for it now. "Well, I can, you know, use my credit card." Do you remember? How many of you remember layaway plans? Raise your hand. How many of you layaway plans? Do you remember that? Yeah, you're older than I am. That's why. But what you do, you go to Sears and you'd buy a nice coat that you really like. And if you didn't have the money, you'd put it on layaway. They'd hang it in the back closet for you. And then you pay on it every week. As often as you could, you'd come in and put down $10, $15, $10, $5 until you had it what? Completely paid for. And then they would give you that jacket. Not anymore. You just give the credit card because you want to buy it now. "Yeah, but I don't have the money." That's okay. I want it now. Everything in this materialistic society is to get it now, and then you don't want it later. And we put it in a public storage somewhere. They make a television series about you. Is it timely or not? You might say, "Well, it's not timely." Okay, or it is timely. Well, when these four things come into play, that it's right, it's wise, it's strategic, and it's timely, you will have a far greater percentage of accuracy that it will be a good decision. So the first is, you've got to understand your goals and God's goals. They've got to be the same. Be careful before you make decisions, otherwise you're going to end up where you didn't want to go, with people you don't want to be with stuff you don't really want anymore. It'll help you finance your future. Let me tell you, you can't buy your future, but the way you handle finances will affect it either for the good or for the bad. The second thing we have to have a full and complete understanding of is our growth, our maturity, in other words, our discipline and the ability to follow through with our goals, to make the decisions, to refuse to buy something or refuse to get involved with something. Our growth is very important in this, because if it's immaturity that you're bringing into this, you won't be able to follow through. You'll have good thoughts about, but you won't have a good lifestyle that it reflects that. We'll become as, and by the way, one of the reasons we want people in small groups and devotional groups is just this. It helps our growth, our maturity. Otherwise, we'll be people who know, as Christians, we know everything there is about, we know everything there is to know about love, but we can't love one another. You'll know everything there is to know about prayer, but we don't pray. We know everything there is to know about forgiveness, but I can't forgive those people who are my neighbors. The dog is demonic. I will kill it. We know everything there is to know, but we can't live it. Why? Because of our growth or our maturity basis. So the other thing we must understand is growth. Well, how do you get that? One of the number one tests God uses to see how you're doing is with money. You say, really? Uh-huh. Whether you'll worry or trust, whether you will obey or not. Money, how you handle money. Very important. It tells our obedience or our ability to obey. Let's read what the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 9. Go. You will be glorifying God through your generous gifts, for your generosity will prove that you are obedient to the good news of... Yeah, that's a proving ground right here. It's the way you finance. You say, really? Absolutely. Do you remember when Paul spoke to his protege, Timothy, in 1 Timothy 6:10? He said, the love of money is the what? Root of all kinds of evil. If you steward money well, the roots will be healthy. If you steward it poorly, the roots will be bitter. Your money, the way you handle, affects your marriage, your decisions, your children, your future, everything. So God uses money because it has all of these roots that go everywhere, and it affects everything. Do you remember, like, you used to go to the doctor, and if you say, doctor, I'm not feeling good, I feel... So he would press on some areas. He'd go, how's this? Oh, all right. Oh, ow, 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 right here. Ow, yeah, right there, right there. Oh, he says, okay. He presses right here. How's this? Oh, yeah, sore. And then it pushes under here. How's this? Ah, ow. So he knows that there's some infection in my glands here and here and here. So he knows by pressing, and the increasing pain will tell him what the problem is. And when he presses one place right here and you say, ow, what does he do? He keeps pressing. What about this? Ow, ow. Well, that concerns him, because where he's pressing and you're saying it's hurting, it's not supposed to hurt. And if it does, something is wrong somewhere else. You understand? And sometimes God does that with you and me. He presses our minds. How's this? Oh, not too bad. How about your maca? Oh, not too bad. How about your mouth? Oh, ow, ow, ow. Oh, yeah, okay. How about your heart? Oh, good, good, good. And then he presses right here on your wallet. Ow! Ow, stop, don't push, ow! God says, oh, it's got roots all over the place. You see, God knows that our growth is going to require us to steward well what God has given to us. And I want God to say that we steward things well. And that's why God speaks to us so much about how we handle money. By the way, did you know that the Bible says that God measures your spiritual maturity by the way you handle money? Really? Uh-huh. Because it has roots, see? That's a pressure point. Did you know that the Bible says that God actually evaluates how much He can trust you with spiritual blessings according to how you steward money? You say, really? Yeah, I didn't say that. Jesus did. Let's read the scripture, and you'll see in Luke 16:11. Go. If you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will entrust you with true riches? What's that? The true riches of influence, of influencing your family, your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, your neighbors, maybe this church influencing the state of Hawaii. The true riches that have an eternity stamp to it, not temporality, eternity. Can I entrust you with this? Because this will affect people's forevers. Well, how will you know that we're ready? By the way that we steward finances. Really? Yeah, because it has roots to every other area of our life. God wants us to be a people who understand this, because it's a part of our growth. And when we understand this, then He moves us into something called, and here's the third thing we want to talk about, not only our goals and our growth, but now we talk about... Would you write down?
Well, how's that for a way to end the program? You'll just have to wait 23 hours and 30 minutes to find out that third point. Don't miss it. It's a message entitled Financing Your Future by Dr. Wayne Cordero. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Now, for Pastor Wayne, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.